welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a blessed day today. We actually have Dad on for the first half of the show. He's got a great signal, and he'll be on tonight with the Hagman Show again, Hagman and Hagman Report, from 7 to 10, so that'd be exciting to have him on there. How are you doing today up in Montana again, Dad? We missed you yesterday.
Oh, Dad, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. They've got this place so covered up in chemtrails. I'm up here in Whitefish, Montana today. It's just, there are chemtrails everywhere. I'm looking outside, I can count 20 or 30 chemtrails, and I see the planes laying them down. So if anybody believes that Montana is chemtrail-free, I hate to tell you this, guys, it's not true. So last night I had dinner with Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. We went to the Montana Club, which is like a steakhouse, and had a great time with him. We spent about 2.5 hours with Chuck and talked about all kinds of world events and about Donald Trump and about Hillary, and you can imagine how that conversation went. And he's really a genuine guy. He was carrying a Glock 40, and I was carrying my Kimber 45, and we were sitting there in the restaurant, and he said he open carries a lot of the time, but sometimes he doesn't do it. He was concealed carrying last night. And then I talked to him about having extra magazines he was carrying, because I had two extra mags on me, and he told me he didn't carry any extra magazines, but he knew that he needed to. And I said, okay, I'm not going to go any further than that. If you already know you need to, you need to. But, yeah, remember, guys, if you're concealed carrying a weapon, especially with a 45, if you've got seven or you got six in the clip and one in the pipe, you know, that's not a lot of firepower. It really isn't. And if you get into a situation where things get really bad, you know, six rounds is going to go really fast, and then you're going to be throwing guns or throwing furniture. So it's not something that you need. You know I'm right, Austin, or throwing brooms or books or whatever. And it's just going to be a lot easier just to carry extra magazines with you. Plus, if you run through six or seven or eight or ten rounds, they're going to know you're either reloading and you have multiple magazines, and then they don't know what to do because they can't count the shots. They can't count the shots. So you make sure you always have extra magazines with you. Interesting story. I'm going to go into it in detail tonight on the Hagman Show. So I want everybody to really listen close, because I'm going to cover the story in detail tonight. This is from Veterans Today. It's an exclusive in the largest pedophile ring in history. Now, we talk about this in the upper levels of government. This pedophile ring has 70,000 members, which includes heads of states, are all starting to scramble because they're actually breaking ground and cracking this human trafficking information and pedophile ring globally right now. Millions read the news today. The pedophile ring busted with the earlier article about how the FBI actually ran it for several weeks, expanding it and drawing in tens of thousands. Those who read it thought they knew, thought they were getting the whole story, but it's often the case, the truth goes much, much deeper. When Veterans Today tied the murder of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia to a White House blackmail plot and a strange tale involving the Keshe Foundation, it became clear that the highest and most powerful in Europe, the U.S., and around the world were tied together in a web of ritual child abuse on a massive scale, numbering in the tens of thousands. For the tale, Scalia tale, we can refer to the appendix. Today's story is one more aspect of this. Veterans Today involvement goes back to 1991, when key Veterans Today staffers worked for America's intelligence community. A GOP high-level staffer approached the CIA claiming that President George H.W. Bush was being blackmailed. It was said that the president was at a political fundraiser in St. Louis, where unknown to the president, top GOP campaign donors were having sex with young boys, some of whom had been spirited away from the boys' town in Nebraska of Father Flanagan fame. Now, tonight, I'm going to cover this story in its sordid detail, as much as I don't want to talk about this stuff, but I've covered this so many times, with the Vatican having paid out $4 billion now to children that were children's families, and to these children who were sodomized by these nutbag priests, and this thing is starting to unravel. This is a global tale of sodomy, of Satanism, all of this crazy nonsense they're doing. Going to go in detail tonight on the Hagman Show. What's your first story today, Oz?
Well, this is pretty interesting now. Hungary is now building a second massive wall to keep out all migrants heading from Turkey. Hungary will be building a new, even more massive fence on its southern border now to defend against a possible surge in the number of migrants, Prime Minister Viktor Orban said today. He stated there's a greater need for security, and the fortified barrier would be able to stop several hundred thousands of people at the same time if needed. He also said that the surge could take place at any time, for example, if Turkey allows the millions of refugees living there to leave for Western Europe. He said, then if we can do it nicely, we will have to hold them back by force if we cannot do it nicely, and we will do it then. Hungary built fences protected with razor wire on its southern borders with Serbia and Croatia last year when nearly 400,000 people passed through their country on their way west. The fence has greatly stopped the flow of people entering Hungary, which has also beefed up its police force with 3,000 new border hunters to tighten control on the fences. It has also introduced controversial legislation that allows officials to return migrants to Serbia if they are caught within 8 kilometers of the border. So Hungary has had enough of this too. They're completely and totally sick of this massive migrant influx all at once. They don't want to handle it anymore. I talked to you guys yesterday about, I think, Norway. They're going to be building a fence up there with against Russia's border. So all these countries now, they're starting to realize that this is not something that they want to get involved in anymore. They're done with it. Norway's building the fence up against Russia. Hungary's building a bigger fence now. These guys want these people out of here. Like I told you guys yesterday, people that want to come to these different countries and are really true refugees that have no other place to go and they're really looking for help, they don't protest out on the sidewalk because they're not getting enough cigarette money. They don't riot and start throwing trash cans at cars because they don't have enough cable or television in their houses that they're staying in. They don't do stuff like that. These people that are coming in here know this is a free handout, a free country, and basically a free pass to rape all the women you want in this country. And all these, Hungary, Norway, all these countries are starting to realize this now, that this is not the way they want to go, the way of Sweden and Germany that have been completely taken over by the hostile Islam Muslims. So I'm really excited to see Hungary's doing this. I'm glad a couple countries are really standing up for what they need to do.
Well, you know what's interesting, Austin? Yesterday, we were in Glacier National Park. And yep. As I always do, we're on these little tram buses going all over the place because there's no parking there. And you remember years ago when you were up there with us, you know, we took one of the tram buses throughout the park. And it was interesting. We were on the tram buses. I'm always conducting these informal polls of people who want to vote for Hillary and Trump. They're probably really happy when I get off this tram, right? And, you know, because I don't really care anymore. I'm so politically incorrect at this point in my life, it doesn't make any difference anymore. it just is what it is. Like Chuck Baldwin is the same way. He's had enough of it too. And it was so funny yesterday because I'm talking to a group of people or that they were together. There were four of them. Two of them got on the tram. The other two got on a ladder tram, and they were from Lithuania, which is up close to Croatia. And I asked them, you know, where they were from, and the girl was kind of apprehensive about answering that, which I don't understand why. And then I said, are you from Russia? And they said, absolutely not. We're from Lithuania. And I said, Lithuania? I said, that's interesting. I said, that was a communist bloc country after World War II. And the guy just went off on the Russians and the USSR and what they had done and all the women they had raped and all the horrible things that happened through the treaty, you know, in the signing of the treaty of World War II with the Potsdam Accord. And what's crazy about all of this is that these guys, they weren't nuts. They were just telling me that, hey, look, you have no idea what the real history was. And I started laughing, and I said, well, yeah, actually I do. My mom was in Nazi Germany, and she knows exactly what happened. And she continually told me that we were being lied to by the mainstream media. And basically it was a giant disaster of what happened in Europe, and that we were basically just being given part bits and pieces of this by the Zionist-controlled mainstream media. And so these guys just went off on us. So we're talking to this guy. So I ended up getting his email, and now he's on my email database and all that kind of stuff, so we can start sending him more information. So we talked to him about 20 or 30 minutes. That's an interesting story, but here's what's even more interesting. We were heading back to the car from the tram, and we met a group of German tourists. There were six of them. And they were basically talking German, so I started talking German to them, and then we were conversing, and they wanted to know why I spoke such good German, et cetera, et cetera. And I told them that my mother was from Germany, and that was my first language, and I never learned German. I just knew German. And we just really hit it off. And finally, I asked them, I said, what are you doing about the migrant invasion of Germany? And Austin, they looked at me, and they said, what are you talking about? And I said, the migrants, the Muslims, the raping of your women and children, what are you doing about that? How do you feel about that? And they go, raping of women and children, Muslims? We don't know what you're talking about. Austin, I kid you not. And finally, I looked at him. I got a little bit irritated. I said, look, if you're playing a politically correct joke with me right now, I said, I don't need to have that done right now. I'm not in the mood. And I said, I want to know what you're doing about all the immigrants from all these Muslim countries that are raping your women. And they looked at me and they said, well, you know, we're not supposed to talk about that, you know, and we don't really, we kind of pretend like that's not happening. And I said, look, I said, what is the deal here? What is the deal here? Are you joking me? And they finally, they said, well, it's sad the situation's gotten out of hand. And I said, it's sad the situation's gotten out of hand. Germany's turned into the second largest rape center in Europe, only behind Sweden. Sweden's lost. You guys are fixing to lose your country. And Austin, I could not get them to engage. They're so brainwashed by the mainstream media in Germany, and that because of the Holocaust and all the stuff they were taught about World War II, that they're so scared they're going to be labeled a neo-Nazi skinhead or an extremist, that they will not even address the raping of their women and children in their country. They're pretending like it's not happening, and they refuse to discuss it.
Wow, that's sad.
I mean, so they pretty much are going to get what they deserve over there. So then I'm talking to the guy in front of the bus, and a ranger policeman was just killed 2 weeks ago by a grizzly bear. He was being wild on his bicycle, mountain bike, running down the hills real, real fast, and ran into a grizzly bear.
Oh, God.
He hit the grizzly bear with his bike. They had a collision, right? And, of course, the grizzly bear thought he was being attacked, and they basically he killed the guy. One report said he basically hit him one time in the head and took his head off. And, of course, a couple of minutes later, his friend comes up right behind him. He sees the carnage that was left. He said the bear was already gone, and immediately he was in shock and went and got help. And then, so this is some crazy stories of the bears up here. And so they're like the alligators in Florida. And so what happened is I was telling this whole story to the German guy, who didn't understand anything because it was all in English with the driver. And I told him, I said that basically we all carry pretty much guns in America, that all of the conservatives believe in the co-carrying of weapons, and that we all have guns. And he said something very, very interesting. This is one of the guys now who's actually saying something that's, he doesn't even realize what he's saying. He looks at me, he goes, the only people that have guns in Germany are the criminals.
Wow.
Now think about that. See, because they've seized all the guns, but the criminals never turned in their guns.
Yep.
So the only people in Germany that have the guns are the criminals. Unbelievable. And this is where they want to take us. That way they can do whatever they want to do to us, whenever they want to do it to us. And I was talking to Chuck Baldwin last night. He said that in Montana, like, everybody's pretty much got guns. And he said that they're going to have a very hard time taking over the state of Montana, because there's always going to be pockets of resistance. It'll be like going in Afghanistan and trying to fight again. And he said that the people up here just aren't going to give up their sovereignty. And so it's a really neat place to visit. I really like the mindset here. I really like the spirit in Montana. It's a spirit of freedom still. People open carry all over the place. You go to the grocery store and they're carrying a .357 Magnum in a holster or a Glock in a holster, and they're just open carrying their guns. And nobody even pays them any attention, Austin. Everybody ignores it. And they told me, because Montana is an open carry state, that I could get on the tram if I had a good attitude, that wasn't acting like a nutbag, which I interpret as being some Muslim radical extremist, that I could get on the tram with a shotgun to protect me and my family if we went hiking out in the woods in the national park.
Wow.
So I thought to myself, you got to love Montana. You got to love Montana. And they said the problem is it makes a lot of the people in the tram uncomfortable. So, but you can open carry a shotgun or a rifle or high powered anything you want on the trail when you're hiking through in the national park, because they think you have a right to defend yourself in this state against these, you know, 1,400 pound bears that are running around knocking people's heads off with one swing. So yeah, it's an interesting place to be. I really enjoy hanging out up here. It's a nice place, a difficult place to earn a living up here because it's very isolated and low population density, but it's really a nice, nice place to visit. It really is. Temperature is beautiful today, 65 degrees, clear blue skies with a whole bunch of chemtrails, and now it's turning a little bit hazy. But those are the stories I want to share with you from yesterday, and that the folks in Europe, up in Croatia, Lithuania, up there by the North Sea. In fact, you were in Croatia with us, Austin, years ago when we did that cruise from on the Northern Sea, and we went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and we went into Croatia also. I think it was Tallinn, Estonia, and we were up there. It wasn't Croatia, it was Estonia, and we were up there. We had a blast with those guys. So yeah, so we had a good time yesterday. So guys, thanks for allowing me, you know, a day of vacation with my family. It was fun. By the way, the FBI is now admitting that Clinton used software that was designed to prevent recovery and hide traces of deleted emails. Incredible. This is from Zero Hedge. South Carolina Representative Trey Gowdy appeared on Fox News today and disclosed new details about the Clinton email scandal that seemed to indicate intent to destroy evidence. Gowdy revealed that Clinton used BleachBit to erase the personal emails from her private server, which we all now know they weren't personal. For those not familiar with the software, BleachBit is intended to help users delete files in a way to prevent recovery and hide traces of files deleted. Per the BleachBit website, beyond simply deleting files, BleachBit includes advanced features such as shredding files to prevent recovery, wiping free disk space to hide traces of the files, and vacuuming Firefox to make it faster. During his appearance on Fox, Gowdy clearly indicated that Clinton's use of BleachBit undermines her claims that she only deleted innocuous personal emails from her private server. Gowdy also questioned whether Hillary considered the Clinton Foundation emails to be personal. If not, asked why the FBI's investigation revealed minimal emails about Foundation-related topics. Think about this. This nutbag woman leaves an email on there about sacrificing a chicken in the backyard to Moloch. I mean, first of all, the fact that she talks like that tells you where her mindset is. Secondly, it's ridiculous. And it's almost like it's in your face that she can talk about whatever she wants to talk about and get away with it, and nobody's going to question anything. I mean, the mainstream media would never bring up the fact that she's sacrificing chickens to Moloch. I mean, who even knows who Moloch is other than Bible scholars and people who are Old Testament people or people that are worshiping Moloch still? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, or Bohemian Grove guys, they know about a lot of it too. What do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, no, it is interesting she used that software. It doesn't surprise me at all, though. But what surprises me is the FBI is coming out and saying they know she used the software, yet they're still refusing to prosecute her at all. That just goes to show you the level of corruption. But in other news now, the level of political correctness, it's funny, I got this article, she brought it up a minute ago. Doctors are now basically, pediatricians are now telling parents to lie to their children about their obesity. Some politically correct physicians are now asking parents to lie if they don't believe they can accept or understand the truth. This is reported by New York Magazine. They said one of the first things that politically correct docs are advising against is parents talking to their teenagers about their weight, and in particular about their teens need to adjust their diets in order to maintain a healthy weight, completely ignoring the problems of obesity, eating disorders, they claim. It's way better to reduce the incidence of both. The better thing to do is allow your children to maintain an unhealthy weight and lifestyle rather than possibly hurt their feelings. Now, I'm adding that in there. Well, it actually comes from the newly issued guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is their guidelines now. And they say the scientific evidence summarized in new recommendations shows that physicians and parents can ward off problems at both ends of the weight spectrum by avoiding focusing on teens' attention on their weight or dieting and instead just encouraging a balanced lifestyle. And what's so crazy about this, guys, is this is the whole another tier of political correctness we keep talking about now. Neither parents nor doctors should be encouraging teens to diet, the AAP says. Parents should not talk about weight at all, neither their own nor their children, because basically talking about a child's weight and advising them to fix the problem is now what's referred to by political correct warriors as fat shaming. So it doesn't matter if your child's 500 pounds and 12 years old. That doesn't matter. You shouldn't talk to them about what they eat. You don't want to offend them or make them feel bad about themselves. You just need to tell them you need to promote a healthy lifestyle, and that should fix the whole issue as it goes. I don't even know what more to say about that, but as you were just saying, Deb, this level of political correctness has gotten so out of hand. We've talked to so many parents when they were younger, kids when they were younger, when they have kids that are growing up. Listen, guys, your kids eat what you feed them. You are responsible for how your kids grow, what they eat, what they do, at least in their younger years, until they're basically out of the house or you're no longer responsible for them. So if your kid's 6, 7, 8 years old and they weigh 250 pounds, it's not their fault. It's your fault. And you need to address the situation. You need to look at your entire eating habits, including what you bring in the house. Dad's talked about this numerous times, but I just wanted to bring this up just because of how laughable this political correctness has gotten now. Don't talk to your kids about them being obese or eating unhealthy. You just need to tell them you want to promote a healthy lifestyle. What a joke.
Well, you know, Austin, when I did the counseling in my office, gosh, you know, sometimes I'd have up to 40 patients a day, and I was so busy back in the 80s. It was just crazy. And we had the largest clinical nutritional counseling office in the southeastern United States. We had people flying in from all over the world because we were in the forefront again doing satellite TV, broadcasting globally. And we did a show with Ray Cassis one time. I'll never forget this. And it was like a global broadcast before it was over with. It was huge out of Gravette, Arkansas. I'm not even sure if he's on the air anymore. I'm sure he's probably not if I retire by now. And what's interesting is it just got bigger and bigger and bigger with our clinic. And I would have these times where people would bring their kids to talk to me about their weight. And then there would be times that I would say something to the parent about the child. Sometimes my comments were solicited. Sometimes they weren't solicited. Now, here's what I found. If you talk to a parent about their child's diet and it's unsolicited, that parent goes hysterically angry in about 80% of the cases. 20% of the time, they'll listen to you. 80% of the time, they get so angry that they basically stomp out of the office, get mad, or you never see them again. Now, the sad part about this is nobody wants to take responsibility for fat kids. Now we got a third of the kids obese, at least a third. Now, here's the deal with that. If you have a child who's got a gut hanging over his belt, okay, the kid needs to lose some weight. It's just that simple. I remember years ago, I have a good friend, and he had a daughter, and she basically had gotten really fat, and she's like 17, 18 years old. She's pushing 250, 260, 270. And I told him, I said, look, I said, your daughter really has gotten out of weight. He goes, no, she's just big boned. And I looked at him, and I started laughing, and I said, are you that naive? Do you really believe this? Well, she's just big boned. She'll grow out of it. And I said, she's 17, 18 years old. You think she's going to grow out of 270 pounds? I said, she's 140, 150 pounds overweight already. I said, somebody needs to address this. Well, finally, you know, he decided that, you know, he'd listen. And she came by the house, and they started working out with me at the house, and she ended up losing like 80, 85 pounds. And she had a wedding. She had a goal for it to go to, and she did. She looked absolutely great. She actually got very, very pretty in her facial features, and she was doing wonderful. And then suddenly, she quit working out, got off the program, and just ballooned back up. Now she's well over 300 pounds. Now, the sad part about this is now she's in her mid-20s, over 300 pounds, and now she's basically going to either have to have some kind of, I don't believe in gastric bypass surgery, but I do believe sometimes you need to put a balloon in the stomach or tie off part of the stomach, because these people, to maintain 350, 400 pounds, you got to eat 5, 8, 10, 15,000 calories a day in some cases. You're just eating like a pig. And guys, if you're overweight, I'm apologizing to you right now for trying not to offend you, because this is not politically correct. I don't even like talking about this stuff. But if you've got to lose a bunch of weight, the only thing gastric bypass surgery does for you, or having your stomach stapled, or having a balloon put in your staple, is it prevents it prevents you from eating as many calories, because you get sick when you eat too much. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that it all restricts your dietary intake of calories when you do these things. If you did that on your own, you wouldn't require all that surgery. And listen to me for a second, friends. If you have children at home, they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and they're already getting fat, that's not that child's fault. That's your fault. I said, yeah, and because what's happening is that kid doesn't jump in the car and drive to the junk food store. They don't do that. A lot of times the parents have candy laying all over the house. The kids are eating candy all the time. So if you got a fat kid or you got to lose some weight, you know, little hint, get the candy out of the house. Get the junk food out of the house. Get the sodas out of the house. We have another friend, Austin. She ended up ballooning up to probably 400, 450 pounds, and they had a vending machine business, and they just let her eat as much as she wanted, and now she's like lost a bunch of weight, went anorexic or had her stomach stapled or whatever she had done, but she lost a bunch of weight. And sadly, this behavioral pattern that you teach these kids when they're young, this is something they have to fight for the rest of their lives, because when they get all these fat cells in their body, they're constantly screaming for glucose, they will constantly want you to eat, and it's very difficult to maintain a lean muscle mass and a lean body mass index if you're fat as a child. So I'm not saying be anorexic, because when babies are small, they need to be pretty fat, especially pretty chunky when they're the first year, because that helps to develop the nerves in their body, so they need to be getting plenty of breast milk. But a child's never going to get obese on breast milk. Now, if you start hammering them with goat's milk or whatever, giving them all the goat's milk they want to eat, you get them pretty fat, but they're never going to get fat on breast milk. So, or they're not going to get fatter than they should be when they're developing their myelin sheath around their nerves on breast milk, let me put it that way. So, guys, listen to me again. This is not something that is okay. You know, and then what happens, what are you going to do when that kid's 25 years old and they come back and they tell you, which the one girl's already done, tells her parents, it's your fault that I'm obese because you let me get obese as a child. And quite frankly, it was their parents' fault that she's obese. But it's no longer their fault. Now she uses that excuse of her parents making her obese to eat whatever she wants to eat. It's crazy, Austin. It's the nuttiest thing we've ever seen. And the sad part about it is, don't let you be their excuse. You know, teach them the right way to eat. Teach them to exercise. Teach them to work out. Teach them to just think about what they're eating, not to eat a bunch of bread and pasta and carbs and pizza. I mean, eating a pizza is like taking a fat pill. Eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on white bread, drinking whole milk, is like eating fat pills, okay? I mean, there's certain things you just need to avoid, okay? And so just avoid that. Stay with the green leafy vegetables. Stay with the lean meats. And if you occasionally want to have a snack or whatever, some ice cream, whatever, who cares? But don't be teaching them to eat that stuff every single day, and don't be teaching them they're supposed to have a dessert with every meal. Complete nonsense, Austin. Good story to bring up. What's your next one?
No, and you're absolutely right. And one thing to add to that, too, is I've always seen it pretty effective, and you guys did it a lot with me when I was younger, and I've seen a lot of other parents, too, that have been health and fitness-oriented do the exact same thing. Use treats like that as basically a reward and a special occasion. Make it so it's kind of exciting for them to get ice cream, or if they're going to get some type of junk food like that, and don't make it a regular habit. If you do it that way, it's way more rewarding, it's way more enjoyable, it won't put weight on you like that because you're not doing it on a regular basis, and it will teach them as they get older that you don't have to eat a dessert with every meal like Dad said. I know so many families, it's like every time they have dinner together, every time they have a meal, they have to make a pie, or they got to have ice cream with it, they have to have cake, and they're constantly buying stuff from Publix and the local stores all the time. It's always sitting on the counter. Every time you go to the house, there's cookies or cake or pie, and it's like, you don't need to have those empty calories sitting on the counter all the time. Sure, you got a special occasion. Sure, somebody's graduating. Oh, you have a birthday. Oh, somebody's done really good in school. Got that. Completely understand that. That's a good incentive. But just to do it on a regular basis really teaches those kids that the rest of their life they need to be satisfied by eating junk food on a regular basis. And it's simply not a healthy lifestyle to basically encourage. Now, this is interesting because I've had a few people, you know, talk about libertarian candidate this year, which I hope nobody votes for him, especially
after
this.
He's horrible. He sucks.
Horrible. And that's why I wanted to bring this up right now, before anybody that's listening is even on the fence about any of this, Gary Johnson is complete and total blithering at it, and he just sold out the Big Pharma completely. Right. He basically said in this article now, with the VPR, they quoted him on this, he said, as vaccines end up a federal issue, I will come down on the side of science, and I will require that vaccine. He goes, it's an evolution, actually, just in the last few months. I was thinking, why would you require a vaccine? If I don't want my child to have a vaccine, you don't have to get one. He goes, well, it turns out I was wrong. And basically, if it ends up being a federal issue, I'm coming down on the side of science, and I will probably require that everybody gets a mandated vaccine. This guy is a complete and total blithering idiot. He's on the side with the vaccine propagandist now. He blatantly came out and said this. Remember, guys, Donald Trump has been the only individual that has come out and openly spoken against the dangers of vaccines. He flat out said that vaccines that are being currently administered are toxic multi-dose cocktails, and they should be safer, and they should be spread out over time to reduce the risk of harm, instead of this nonsense that we're seeing where you have to have all these vaccines by 6 months, and you have to get all these vaccines by 2 years. It's completely and totally ridiculous to pump all this crap into these little children's bodies at that young of an age when it's not even necessary for them to be getting vaccines at all. And on top of that, while they're breastfeeding, it's definitely never even an option that they need vaccines at all, because the mother will make all the antibodies that child needs to fight off any type of infection. So just wanted to throw that out there. If anybody was even considering looking at this candidate, you need to scrap him outside and kick him in the dirt, because this is not somebody you want to vote for when they start talking vaccine rhetoric like that at all. That's my opinion.
No, you're right. Chuck Baldwin and I talked about this last night, and he doesn't like
good, okay.
And, I mean, the guy's for TPP. I mean, he's like a Hillary wannabe. I mean, he's just bad news. I mean, I talked to Baldwin about this last night. I'm going to say it to you guys again. In all the last few elections, I voted third party. I just had enough of it. I was gnooked on all of them, because they were offering me, you know, a forced colonic enema on one party and a forced bout of vomiting and diarrhea on the other party. And so I'm like, I don't want to deal with either one of these deals. I think both of these are horrible. I'm going to vote libertarian. And I've done that for the last 10 or 12 years, or 12 or 13 or 14 years, whatever it's been now. But this is different. Okay, we have a person in Donald Trump and a person in Hillary Clinton who are diametrically opposed. Right? We got the mainstream media and George Soros and the boys and the Rothschild cartels with their $100,000 night plate dinners for Hillary, pushing Hillary, the globalist, to continue us down the slippery slope of political correctness and globalism, a new world order, and the loss of our nationality as far as being Americans. We've got Donald Trump, who's the polar opposite. We've got Gary Johnson now, who is another blithering idiot like Hillary. And so why in the world would we vote third party? And you say, well, I'm going to write Jesus Christ in to the ballot. Okay. Well, no, people told me that. I was going to write Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I really don't really say, I can't say anything bad about Jesus Christ, except that he's not going to come down here and run the country. I mean, he didn't set it up that way. So, you know, I wish Jesus Christ had come down and run the country. I really do. I mean, I wish Yahweh would say, I had enough of this mess and clean this stuff up. But think about it. When Jesus did come to the planet and try to straighten things out, they killed him. Now, that's just the truth. Now, whether you want to believe that or not, that's okay. Then he resurrected, rose from the dead. Okay? And so, even when he came, they killed him. They didn't recognize the Son of Glory. So, if someone came right now, and it really was Jesus Christ, came back, they would probably, if he came, unless he came in a, with so much power and authority that, you know, everybody had to just basically drop down to their knees, you know, they would completely ignore him. Because remember, the Bible says that light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. You know, it's preferred the lie. You know, the truth has come in, but the world preferred the lie. And these guys with Freud and Bernays and all these guys that have done this mass programming on us now for the past 140 years, they've basically decided how we're to be raised, and they've trained us like Pavlovian animals. And that's what they've done with the Skinner techniques in the schools. And guys, it's time to put a stop to it. You're not an animal. You can think. You can make your own decision. If somebody asks you, and you're a German tourist, what are you guys doing about the rapes of the women and the daughters in Germany? It's okay to say, we don't like it. We want Angela Merkel out. It's okay to say that. But they don't do that. They're so programmed and so conditioned with the Germans over there, because they've gone through the same mind-bending programs that we have in this country, that they don't really know what to say or what to do. And they're scared to voice their own opinions and the correct, because they're afraid it's going to be politically incorrect. Guys, we're not called to a spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and a sound mind. That's what the book of Timothy tells us. It also says the kingdom of God has been advancing since the beginning of time, and only forceful men lay hold of it. Now, I'm not a dominionist. I don't believe that doctrine. But what I do believe is that we need to stand our ground for Jesus Christ and for Yahweh and Yeshua everywhere we go. And we don't need to back off. We need to be real men if you're a guy, and real women if you're a girl. I mean, you know, I love it when I see women walking around, you know, the grocery store up here in Montana, carrying a 357 in a, you know, in a holster. I love it. With a bunch of kids in the cart. I mean, it's the neatest thing I've ever seen, you know. I'm thinking to myself, well, nobody's messing with that, mama. And the craziest thing about it, and the craziest thing is, because of the demographics up here, there's hardly any crime anyhow. So you have to ask yourself a question. Which came first, the crime or the lack of crime or the gun or the demographics? So it's an interesting story that we get into later. But here's something else. This is interesting. Hillary is now defining the enemy. She says Clinton is now calling 31 million Breitbart readers racist, white supremacist, and Ku Klux Klan members. You know, I don't even know where she says where this stuff comes from. She's got to be like brain dead to say things like this since the Democratic Party started the KKK. This is what Breitbart article said. Amid a deafening chorus calling for the closure of her corrupt foundation to stop bagging foreign cash for favors, embattled Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has decided to label 31 million people as racists because they don't agree with her. The Clinton campaign attack and targeting Donald Trump portrays Breitbart news employees and readers as racist, white supremacists, and members of the KKK. The ad includes shots of men dressed in KKK robes, followed by footage of crowded Trump rallies. Bernays, that's what it is. They're linking the rallies to the footage of the KKK, trying to make you do an association in your brain.
Yep.
One shot shows Stephen K. Bannon, who temporarily stepped down as executive chairman of Breitbart News, standing in front of a mural depicting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Since he believes in the Constitution, it obviously makes him a racist and a KKK member.
Yep.
Now, Hillary now is also smearing Alex Jones during a conspiracy-obsessed rant. The speech in Reno was billed as Hillary's moment to demonize Trump by equating him as a racist, white supremacist, conspiracy theorist. But she ended up weaving a giant fairy tale of her own, reinvoking the vast right-wing conspiracy that she has been ridiculed for hammering on in the past. Except this time it's former KGB agent and Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is somehow the evil genius secretly controlling InfoWars, Breitbart, Nigel Farage, and the entire right. Hillary said Putin is the godfather of this global brand of extreme nationalism. Hillary also accused Trump of taking hate groups mainstream, the very thing that her and Barack Obama have done by supporting Black Lives Matter, a group that has inspired the murder of police officers and whose ideological inspiration is a convicted cop killer on the FBI's most wanted domestic terrorist list. Clinton's attacked Trump for appearing on the Alex Jones show, which we knew that was coming, claiming that Jones said the victims of Sandy Hook massacre were child actors and no one was actually killed there. In reality, Jones has never claimed that no one died at Sandy Hook. As InfoWars editor-at-large, I've been largely attacked and repeated for very opposite apologist Joseph Watson. Hillary also savaged Trump for becoming an embroiled 9/11 conspiracy theorist for saying that the Muslims celebrated on 9/11. I mean, this woman is going against almost what everybody believes is the truth. I mean, everybody, I think it was 90-something percent of the population believes now that we weren't told the whole truth about 9/11. So I don't know. It's the crazy. So what do you think, Oz?
Oh, well, dude, I mean, it's just crazy how, I mean, with them, their lies never stop because people are actually seeing this stuff now and reading this stuff from Breitbart and all these news agencies and us that are giving the real news out and Hagmans and Hodges, and they're going, man, these guys are on point. They actually know what they're talking about. They're really giving us the raw gutter truth. There's no, nothing on this, man. It's just as raw as it gets. And Hillary and those guys cannot stand it. So now they're stooping to new lows by trying to associate Trump and Breitbart with racist, white supremacists and KKKs, like you said, by doing that subliminal propaganda, by putting in all these different images and pop-ups and flicker rates and all this stuff to make people think, oh, Trump automatically equals racist, Breitbart automatically equals white supremacy. So it's just crazy to me. But the good thing about that, you know, because they're doing this, is because they feel the heat. They know that something's going on, and they know that they're falling back, and they don't know what else to do. So they're basically resorting to last-minute, just absolute pathetic ditch efforts to try and curb the small amount of the population that's basically going to be moved by this just garbage rhetoric that they think are actually going to listen to it, but I don't think it is. I think the more they do stuff like this, the more people are waking up. Because even in that article, it says that Pastor Mark Barnes, who's a black Trump supporter, blatantly came out and he said, Hillary Clinton and her campaign went to a disgusting new low today as they released a video tying the Trump campaign with horrific racial images. This type of rhetoric and repulsive advertising is revolting and completely beyond the pale. I call on Hillary Clinton to disavow this video and her campaign for this sickening act that has no place in our world. So, yeah, that's how people are thinking when they start posting garbage like this stuff, because there's no legitimate purpose and there's no backing to putting videos like this. Nobody that she's even accusing of or trying to exhibit that they use this type of behavior, they encourage this type of behavior, is at all involved in it. It's just pure and total lies. So it doesn't surprise me they're doing stuff like this, but it definitely shows me that we're actually getting in her head.
Well, she's pretty much suspending all of her campaign rallies. She may do a few here and there, but they're pretty much done now because, you know, she can't fill up a classroom for 30 people. And yet they tell us that, you know, she's leading Trump in the polls. I mean, again, remember, I'm going to say this again. This is obfuscation. It's a total lie. Trump's ahead by 68% according to one poll. She has like 17%. Those are the real numbers. Those are the real numbers. Those are the real numbers if we don't get an election skewed but Diebold politics again, which the election is hacked. Those are the real numbers. Trump should win by a massive landslide, probably in all 50 states. Now, here's the interesting thing about this is they can't allow us to know that there's a 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 margin point difference right now with the election. Because if they do that, they can't claim that it's a tight election. So in other words, if Hillary squeaks out a win and it's 51-49 and she wins by a few points, they'll say, wow, tight election this time, tightest election in American politics, but Hillary wins by 2 points in the Electoral College or whatever. And then Trump goes, oh, okay. But if they say to you a week before the election, it's 68% Trump, 17% Hillary, and then Hillary wins, everybody's going to know it was rigged. So remember, the Rothschild boys trained George Soros at the Bank of England after he left Nazi Germany. He's a Rothschild stooge, just like J.P. Morgan was a Rothschild stooge, just like Rockefeller was a Rothschild stooge. They got all of their money and all their backing from the Rothschilds, who printed the currency out of nothing. Now, one person who was not a Rothschild stooge was Henry Ford, and he hated the international banking community and was actually called an anti-Semite by a lot of people, because what happened is the international banking community decided they were going to no longer allow him to basically finance his vehicles, and they were going to try to take over Ford Motor Company. And he actually wrote an entire treatise on this and what they had done to him. He did his self-funding through his own dealerships and saved his own country, his own company, which is what they always do. They control you through the money and through the banks. So what's interesting about this is George Soros, who we now know is one of the principals of the Democratic Party, pretty much runs everything in the Democratic Party, is only being told what to do by the Rothschild boys. That's where he got all his money from. And so he's basically a stooge for them, just like J.P. Morgan was. They always use front people with what they do because they don't want people to come after them and set up a gallows and start stringing up these boys over there in England. So they always use front people, and that's what they've done with Soros. So it's interesting to watch this happen before our very eyes and watch the entire Democratic Party basically implode before us, but yet have the polls say that Hillary is ahead. It's really strange, Austin. I mean, it's almost like we're living in world of the outer limits, you know, of what we're in right now, because it's just the lies have become so absurd and so far out that most people are just saying, we don't believe any of this anymore. What do you think, Oz?
No, you are. I mean, that's exactly what's going on. And I mean, we see that even like we talked about with how the DEA, you know, completely refused to reschedule cannabis. And what's crazy now is they're actually, the FDA is in the process right now of approving ketamine to treat depression. Ketamine is also, too, is a depressant, and it's got a reputation as a party drug. If you take a large amount of it, it basically is a heavy sedative and has hallucinatory effects. It was originally used as a horse tranquilizer and has been approved before by the FDA to be used for pain management. But now the FDA will be testing it on depressive disorders. What's crazy about this, though, is this is the article that brought this up by Clara Burnish, and she straight called out in this article. She goes on to say, she goes, beyond the obvious benefits cannabis has provided directly to drug war profiteers, the for-profit prison industry, the police, and the government's military handout, the unfathomable total local and state governments reap in court fines and costs, the biggest benefactor is the elephant in the room, Big Pharma. In fact, if you have any doubt lingering about the connection between government and insidious pharmaceutical industry, the contrasting decision in failing to reschedule cannabis versus greenlighting the party drug horse tranquilizer ketamine handily annihilates any uncertainty. And it's just, I saw that article and I read that and I just wanted to bring that up because you're exactly right. We feel like you're in the Twilight Zone. Everything's completely getting flipped on its head, and it's okay. We're going to approve FDA usage of horse tranquilizers for depression symptoms, but we're still leaving cannabis in the same category as heroin and LSD, even though in Cincinnati right now, police are asking public health to identify where the heroin is coming in from, as they have had 78 overdoses in the last 2 days. Emergency rooms have had 174 opiate overdose cases in the last week, including 3 deaths. It's become so substantial that it's an epidemic right now in Cincinnati, yet nobody even wants to look at the fact that heroin and cannabis are in the same category as one another. And this is what's going on. But we're bringing in the heroin from Afghanistan. We're allowing these drugs to go out on the street, uncut or cut with other types of toxic elements, who knows. And it's okay to do that because the government has gone completely and totally rogue. They can no longer be controlled by themselves anymore. And this is the point in time where the people have to step in and say, listen, we need a government for the people, by the people. This is not working. What we're doing right now is not working. Something needs to be changed rapidly and dramatically. And that's why I really hope if Trump gets in there, he will do his best to try and change a lot of this obscene stuff that's going on.
Well, I'm going to say it again, and I've covered this multiple times on the show. You know, we've given the politicians the power. The politicians have given it to the military. The military has given it to the CIA and to the Black Ops, and the Black Ops have given it to the Black Magicians and the Luciferians and these 70,000 pedophile boys who like to screw little kids. I mean, a bunch of sickos, man. And that's what we've done. We've turned this entire thing upside down, which is exactly what Sabatain wanted to do, exactly what Jacob Frank wanted to do. And they've taken over the planet through the Rothschild printing of their Babylonian money magic. That's what they've done. That's the bottom line of the whole thing. And so what we have now is this group of Satanists who like to have sex with little boys, basically, and drink their blood. I mean, some horrible stuff they do. And we've talked about it on shows before with the fear molecules. This is what is running our country right now. And so we have, again, the witch, according to Larry Nichols, with Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, the nationalist, who we get to vote for. And Austin, it's not us. It's the lying polls that are giving Hillary any chance whatsoever to win this election. So I don't know what to do. I don't know if Roger Stone knows what to do. I don't know if Trump knows what to do. It doesn't make any difference what's released with WikiLeaks or Snowden or anybody about Clinton. It's like the media refuses to cover it. They refuse to pick it up. They refuse to talk about it. Fox may talk about a little of it, but that's it. And now Clinton's saying because, you know, Trump went on Alex Jones's show, he's a conspiracy theorist and all this other kind of stuff. And quite frankly, that whole debacle with Sandy Hook, that's a questionable, questionable, questionable event. I personally, according to the research that I read, I don't believe that any kids died there. I think it was a fully staged false flag. Now, I might be wrong. This is my opinion. All I know is there were no medical helicopters there, and there were no ambulances leaving the scene. Now, to me, that's just really weird. Okay, that's just weird, weird, weird. How can you have that type of shooting and have no ambulances or services like that coming in? I mean, the whole thing's weird. So I don't know, and I've also been told repeatedly by multiple sources the school had been closed before that even happened. So, guys, listen to me. All of these things with the Bay of Tonkin, 9/11, you know, all of these things, I mean, I can give you dozens of them. I had on the show before, all these false flags tells us that we're being managed, not led, managed by a rogue government that is deciding to reduce the population of the planet, bringing a one-world totalitarian regime under Lucifer. That's what these black magicians are doing with the CIA and all of the weird stuff they do. I mean, so we have to choose again. Who do we want to serve? Yeshua and Yahweh? Holy Spirit? I mean, God, our triune God? Or do we want to go in with the devil's group? And that's what they want. They're trying to make right, bad, bad, right, up, down, down, up. Just like the word says, every single thing will be turned upside down and topsy-turvy. Welcome to the outer limits, folks. It's not going to get any better until we get a real leader of the White House who's willing to take the power away from the CIA like John F. Kennedy tried to do. Things are getting worse. Dollar stores are now saying that half of U.S. consumers are in dire straits. This is the dollar store. Remember, we have 100 million people right now out of work. Discount giant dollar store is cutting prices again on its most popular items such as bread, eggs, and milk, intensifying a price war among already commoditized markets with the retail giant Walmart to win back a falling market share. Its shares fell the most on record, plunging by 18% after the company missed on revenue, blaming aggressive competition from Walmart. I mean, this is crazy. The biggest factor by far impacting the performance of both dollar stores was the sharp adverse turn in the purchasing power of the lower half of the U.S. consumers. Both the Dollar General and Dollar Tree said that pressures on their core low-income shoppers contributed to the same short sales misses that both retailers reported. On today's conference call, Dollar General CEO Todd Vasos said that he was surprised to admit that while on the surface things are supposed to be getting better, the reality is vastly different for low-income U.S. consumers. I know that when we look at it globally, the overall U.S. population, it seems like things are getting better, but it's a lie. It's not happening. But when you really start breaking it down, you look at the core consumers we serve on the lower economic scale, it's much, much worse than it's been. It's worse because the rents are accelerating and healthcare is accelerating. Actual numbers on healthcare, we mentioned this last week, actual numbers up 800%, and that's not going to get any better either. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. And while we're doing all this and why the economy's getting worse and why basically we're falling into a further deficit, the American police state now is building up another thing with the DHS that they've created called a pay-by-plate system that's allowing police to hotlist motorists across the country. They're building a hot list, which actually will include people on terrorist watch lists, Amber Alerts, Part 1 crimes, drug trafficking, NCIC National Crime Center, leads, RCIC and Regional Wanted Vehicles, warrants, stolen vehicles, delinquents, suspended license, etc. Pretty much you name it, they're putting it in this database, and it's going to be the nature of the LPR, license plate reader, collected from private sources will be through vehicles going through primarily parking garages and toll booths, providing law enforcement with detailed, precise, and targeted historical location information for vehicles of interest. This goes right down to that totalitarian police state that they already have over there in the UK. This is exactly what they want, to be able to watch, monitor, control, and dictate every aspect of your travel, including according to the Boston Globe article, detailed, precise toll transactions are being stored indefinitely by the mass DOT. The pay-by-plate system, which is going to tie into that, is a nationwide tracking system created by the DHS and private corporations. National vehicle location system cameras can identify drivers and passengers' faces in near real time, flagging any person of interest. And these are those cameras that you see at the toll booths, the ones you see on the interstates, on I-4 up on the poles, just these random cameras that have no real reason being there. You can tell they're not security cameras for anything. They're not traffic control cameras. They're simply monitoring cameras, and they can look and watch everything in real time and zoom down in and watch exactly what you're doing. This is what we're spending our money on in this country. So when anybody wants to tell you that we have this significant deficit, that the economy is getting worse, you need to respond to them. How about we stop spending money on trying to police and monitor and watch and control everybody, and we spend more money on trying to help support the economy? That's what I talked about yesterday with that health care bill with the tan tax in it now that charges tanning salons 10% now of their overall net income to pay in taxes because they consider tanning beds to be a health concern, which is complete and total garbage. It's another way the health care system, the Obamacare system, is designed to suck more money out of the economy with more taxes. We already have enough taxes. We already have enough police state. We do not need any more. This stuff has to come to a stop. It has to come to a halt. And we have to start realizing that this is America. These are American people. These are patriots. And we need to be treated as such and not like animals that are collected up in a zoo and monitored and watched, which is how we're being treated now. And I'm completely and totally sick of it. So I really hope we can get a lot of this under control this year and next year because it's rapidly falling. And it's falling quick, man.
Well, it's because of, you remember Obama, the cash for clunkers with Obama?
Oh, yeah.
The reason they did that 8 years ago, and they were giving you $3,000 to $4,000 for cars that were worth $300, is they want to get all the cars off the road that could not be radio controlled via, you know, Wi-Fi, via the OnStar, via the computer systems. And they want to make sure that if they catch you going through a toll booth with a certain tag and they want to stop you with the camera and they see you, they can just turn your car off. They shut it down. They can just wire the computer from the satellite to tell the town and country Dodge van that just went by to turn off and it coasts to a stop. That's what this is all about. Now, guys, you can believe that or not believe it. That's where the totalitarian regime is coming in. That's why a lot of people in the patriot community, they won't buy cars that are like newer than 30 years old because they don't have any computer stuff in them. And a lot of them retrograde them, take the electronic ignitions out of them, put points in them, and basically have them so they can run in case of an EMP. So by swapping out the points, and there's no computer systems in them. Now, I'm not advocating that you go out and do that. And if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But the point is this. If this is where it's going, where they can control cars and make cars turn sideways, hit the brakes on cars, do all kinds of stuff, by simply changing the programming via computers, via satellite. That's kind of nuts, guys, and that's where it's headed. Now they're going to be photographing everybody nationwide, so they'll know that we're you and I and me and Austin and Lana and Sharon. All of us are all of the time by cameras on the interstate and cameras on toll roads. It's kind of crazy. One more quick story because we're almost out of time. I'll be talking about mammograms at length tonight. Women, what you need to know about mammograms with Don Hagman show tonight. Hormone replacement therapy can actually triple your breast cancer rates. Now, we've known about this, but I'm going to repeat this again. If you're suffering through menopause, think twice before you turn to hormone replacement therapy. It really does increase your risks of breast cancer. Women who take it for a long time triple the risks. A major new study has discovered the risk is twice as bad as the previous studies had warned, and it increases the longer the women take it. By the time a woman has taken it for 15 years or more, her risk has more than tripled. But the average time it takes women on HRTs is 5 years or so. So, guys, it's around three times for that. I'm not going to go anywhere in detail on that. I can talk some more about that tonight. But the thing about it is Sharon, when she went through menopause back about, oh, gosh, I guess it's been about 10, 15 years ago now, we developed a protocol for her to follow using supplements, borage oil, cod liver oil, certain vitamins and minerals that completely and totally stabilized her moods. And she had turned into a completely, totally different person when she went through menopause. I didn't know the woman who I'd married and who I was still and was still in love with. And I told her, I said, we got to fix this. I said, this is crazy. It's like, I don't even know you anymore. You tell her, if the sky's blue, she'll tell you it's black. If the sky's black, she'll tell you it's blue. If the wall's green, she'll tell you it's red. I mean, just to argue about everything. And I said, this is nuts. And so we figured out a way to fix it. In fact, in our book, Breakthrough Health, we actually have an entire chapter that she wrote and the exact protocol that she followed to get results without having to do hormone replacement therapy by using supplements and basically dietary changes. So, guys, there's natural ways out of everything in most cases. So, guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Stay tuned tonight because I'll be back on in about 3 hours for three more hours with Doug Hagman covering a whole bunch of stuff, including the 70,000-person pedophile network that's being busted right now. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We love you guys, and thanks for listening. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you tonight. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, we appreciate everything, guys. You got any questions or emails, send them to us at healthmasters.com. You guys stay tuned for the next couple hours. The Hagman Show is going to be great again today. Ted's going to be on live from Montana on the Hagman and Hagman Report. You guys have a blessed night and a safe weekend, and we'll be back with you again on Monday.